Bill Spadia is compensated for commercial and nonprofit appearances. The opinion of the hosts, callers, and guests on this program are not those of New Jersey 101.5, Town Square Media, or station advertisers.
On New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadia with you till 10 o'clock this morning on this. I'm pretty sure it's Wednesday, June 3rd. Although my days are blending, Dan, and part of the problem is the... Although I will tell you, I did love the weather this morning.
Yes.
Second morning in a row.
Mm-hmm.
Nice and cool.
Yes, comfortably cool.
Yeah, it was a little chillier yesterday. Today was nice.
Yesterday was mainly 40s. Today is mainly 50s. That's a significant difference. 50s is quite comfortable.
So are we looking at summer? What am I expecting the next couple days? Like, are we going to hit 90?
It is going to be increasingly summery as the week goes on here. And yes, I think we're going to see one or two days of 90s later this week.
Now, really?
Remember, our local definition of a heat wave is
three days in a row
of 90 plus. That's not an official definition,
is that
by
yours?
The way. It's not mine either. It's New Jersey's definition.
Okay.
Nobody really knows where that came from. Like, it's not written
down. Kind of makes sense, though. Three is a wave. It's like a trend.
You go to other places in the country, and they go by, like, 3 days of 95 or 3 days of 100. I guess it makes sense. But 3 days of 90, that's our benchmark here. I don't think we're going to hit that. It's going to be close, though. And I think we'll hit two, probably Friday and Saturday will be our two. Saturday is going to be the hottest day. However, a hot Saturday in June, that's not such a bad thing for those who are craving some beach and pool time.
I think it's fine. How's the water temperature?
Still pretty chilly. We're in the 60s now, at least.
Still
so
cold plunge-ish.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep. What about humidity? Is it going to be thick?
Not terrible, but it is going to be on the rise. So right now, you know, low humidity is truly our key to success. That is the reason it's so comfortable. That's going to tick up starting on Friday. So it's going to get a little stickier, but not truly like stifling.
Yeah.
It's not going to be steamy and tropical, just more noticeable, a little sweatier Friday into Saturday.
Yeah. I mean, I can't say enough about the weather. This is such a perfect week. We walked back from dinner last night.
Nice.
Yeah, it was a 45-minute walk after dinner. We Ubered to the restaurant, walked back. And I'm like, this is why I love Jersey.
I walked to vote last night, which is right across the street. So that's usually what I do. But it was truly
it just felt great.
Perfect. Fantastic. And, you know, you get a few more days of that. Next chance of rain won't be until Sunday. The heat breaks with showers and thunderstorms Sunday. And then next week is probably going to be a very different week. It's probably going to trend cool and unsettled next week with some rain. So enjoy the beautiful weather while it lasts.
We'll take it. Thank you, Dan.
Yes, sir.
Eric, it was definitely tiki bar weather yesterday.
It absolutely was. I had some running around that I needed to do, but I got home probably about 2:30.
Yeah.
Found a couple of people already sitting there. And
I love that. That's funny. It's a neighborhood bar.
Sat down, had a couple of adult beverages and grilled out last night and had the dogs running around the yard.
Have you been to Mediterra?
Love
recently?
Mediterra. Yeah.
We had such a great meal last night.
It's one of our favorite places in Princeton.
And it's a long walk. We Ubered there, met friends, and had a fantastic meal. The service, the staff,
sit outside?
We did not.
Okay.
Thought about it.
But they have those big doors that open up to the patio that actually is inside, is kind of outside.
Yeah, we sat on the other side of the kitchen. There's like a private room in the back, and then we were in that front where the window is. But, you know, it was great. It was, you know, ran into a couple friends while we were there. But the oysters, and then I had this fish, which I'm forgetting what it's called now. Corey, Robbie, oh my God, I forget. Anyway, I'll remember. It was fantastic. Sometimes I'm reminded, you forget, you know, it's like an old comfort zone place.
That's
I used to go a lot, and I don't go as often. I'm crazy busy, but we went last night. I loved it. But the walk home was so great. And it was, you know, I got back probably, I don't know, I'm going to say maybe 9:30, 9:15. So I sat at my computer refreshing the AP results coming in, and I'm not sure, but it's possible that I have won the turnout bet.
We won't know till we add it all up. I mean,
right? It's going to be close.
I was surprised. That
13, right? And I bet the over.
Yeah, 13 and you bet the over. So, I mean, when you look at some of the turnout numbers, it was high in places like Ocean County and it was high in Monmouth County, where, I mean, high in air quotes, right? 20% of voters in Monmouth County,
but
only 11%
primary,
in Ocean.
That's a lot.
Yeah, right. I mean, if it was 14 in Middlesex, Burlington 22, Atlantic County was 13. Yeah, you might have actually won this.
Yeah,
bet.
You know, the turnout in Burlington was significant because that's Justin Murphy won the primary and for the U.S. Senate.
Yep.
And it was, and I had said this before when I said I had voted for him, that he was the only guy in the field that was not relying on a county organization or an endorsement or, you know, some bully in the back room trying to help him. Just a total grassroots guy who had a message, showed up everywhere, and was at every event. This guy worked every single event, and I watched his numbers come in. He won Burlington, Gloucester, Camden. And those three counties overcame the Monmouth County results, where Zidane was hoping that was going to carry him to victory. And Zidane got crushed. He came in third.
Yeah, he came in third.
What an embarrassment.
But, you know, it's interesting, as you expected and as we talked about yesterday. Mm-hmm. I mean, Zidane handily took Ocean County.
Monmouth.
Monmouth County.
Yeah. That was the machine. Golden, yes, endorsed him, and you know, he had all his little friends in Middletown and else that endorsed him. But it wasn't enough. And you know, it tells me, Eric, that the statewide Republican strategy has to evolve and adjust. Because Murphy did well in Morris County, too, and I don't even think they held a convention or a voter endorsement.
I think the thing that really helped Murphy was during the debate, if you watch the debate, you know, he's Navy vet. He spoke, I think, the best on a lot of the international policies that people struggle with. You know, he's a smart guy. I mean, and clearly, you know, in those areas where he overperformed, versus everybody else, but. You know, it was, I mean, Tabor had a pretty decent showing. I mean, there was about 9,000 vote difference between Murphy and Tabor, and Zidane didn't even crack 70,000 votes. So, you know, I mean, that.
Well, it shows you what I have been saying all along, that it, and you can call 20% decent, which it is in a primary.
In a primary,
I get it. But it shows that Monmouth County machine, the wheels have come off. Their time is done. It's only a matter of time for Monmouth County. If they continue with the same leadership, Monmouth County will be a blue county within two cycles. That's
my
prediction.
Well, it's heading in that direction from a population standpoint anyway. I mean, that used to be, if you think back, you know, to the Chris Christie time, you know, look at Christie versus Corzine. It was the deep Republican counties of Monmouth and Ocean. Ocean still is. Monmouth isn't anymore. And, you know, the Republican leadership in Monmouth County hasn't adjusted to the demographic change in Monmouth County. They've kept that same playbook back from the Christie era. Yeah. And, you know, that doesn't work when you have a split county anymore.
Yeah, that's a great point. So did you vote yesterday? And are you surprised at the results? I'll tell you this. I'll give you my take on the other side of traffic and weather, but the bottom line is grassroots can work to overcome the back room. And now the question is, will the back room come out of the shadows to help this young man become a United States Senator? 1-800-283-101.5 is the number. 618, fast traffic, instant weather next.
Get the latest traffic, weather, and local news with New Jersey 101.5, keeping you informed on all things Jersey.
It was supposed to be this. In excess.
All right, now.
Okay.
He wrote this?
No. This is in excess. It was supposed to be this.
Oh, I see. All right. So we're going to do a reset on the other side of the news. Now, I do want to give you some reports on some local candidates that won yesterday. Yesterday, the primary was a significant victory for local grassroots candidates who did not have a lot of backing, if any backing, from the Republican organization. So, guys, change is out there. You know, I was talking about this yesterday, that the significance of this primary is how impactful are the party organizations anymore? Or is there a trend that you've got new Republican voters? And, you know, when you ask the high-priced consultants about how they target these voters, they go for the 4x4s that they voted in the last four of four elections. And I have said for years now that the 0x4s, the people who have not been motivated to vote, are the key to the future. The ones that are disgusted with both parties, disgusted with the lack of direction, principles, and focus on common sense. And those people start turning out. These are the 2.5 million unaffiliated voters. If you can motivate people that are in their 20s and 30s and say, look, we've got something different and your vote can actually make a difference, now you're onto something. And I think a lot of that was how Justin Murphy got over the top to become the Senate nominee. We'll talk about that and some of the local races on the other side. Did you vote yesterday, or were you victorious in your local race yesterday? 1-800-283-101.5. 628. Eric Scott with your news next. 6:38 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadia with you till 10 o'clock this morning, talking Jersey, taking your calls. 1-800-283-101.5. So really diving into this primary yesterday, you know, Eric, I'm impressed that there was, I was concerned about the bet last night, thinking that all I was hearing all day was nothing. No, right? Right? It was, yeah. But I think statewide turnout will top 13%. I don't know what it's trending at now. What are the unofficial, do we know?
I haven't actually done the overall math, but I think it is when you factor in where you've had higher turnout,
yeah,
and where you've had lower turnout. You know, I've seen ranges anywhere from 22%,
yeah,
to 10%. So when we add up all of the averages and get everything, you may actually, hey, you know, you might have won one for a change.
I can't believe it. It could start a new trend. Now, what's interesting is, couple of wins in Bernards Township. Kirsten Light, who was on the show a couple weeks ago, she won, squeaked out a, it was three candidates running for two seats and won. And what's interesting is the county Republicans spent money against her. Can you imagine county Republicans spending money against a candidate for township committee in Bernards Township? Like that's how they roll.
You had me with, they spent money.
Well, there's a fair point. But she beat him. And, you know, interesting, and there was a rift in Hopatcong. And right now the race is too close to call, imagine, because it's separating the four candidates are between 2 and 8 votes out of about 1,000 wow. cast locally. Yeah.
Wow.
So my friend Rachel Rodriguez is 2 votes behind one of the opponents, and Jennifer Johnson is right now in the lead and should win. It's 4 people vying for 2 seats. So I'm going to stay on these local races. But, you know, what's interesting to me, Eric, is that we've talked about this. The establishment Republicans who have been losing ground now for years, they could not capitalize on the fact that Chris Christie was a 2-term governor. Instead, they continued to blame Chris Christie for the party falling apart. But the reality is, Chris was an aggressive, intense leader who worked with the Democrats. And honestly, after that deal with Sweeney, I've thought about this. In 2011, the Republicans had an opportunity to embrace moderate Democrats and build the party. And instead, it's like every one of these county organizations just got in line thinking, well, maybe Chris will be president. We'll all get a job. And they stopped doing their job. And now here we are in 2026. There's no Republican office. There's no real fundraising mechanism. And I say this because the Republicans, I believe, nominated the best candidate to take on Cory Booker and Justin Murphy. But if they don't step up and do anything, here's a guy, Navy veteran, former deputy mayor. He's a real estate attorney, energy consultant. Like, the guy's got some depth to him. And as you were saying, he performed the best at the debate because he actually has a grasp on economic growth, tax reform, energy policy, because he's a smart guy. And, you know, if you put just a little bit of money behind him, this is the kind of guy that could appeal to the middle. I don't know. There's no party to go back to. That's the problem. So Justin's going to have to fend for himself. And that this is another potentially squandered opportunity, unless these rich guys that spent all this money, you know, to manipulate in the back room. Like I call on every one of the billionaires that spent $500,000 or $1 million against me in the primary to go and trash me. Put your money behind Justin Murphy and let's give Cory Booker a run for his money.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be interesting to see if that would happen. You know, again, it has been, you know, the better part of a century before an incumbent U.S. senator is lost.
Yeah, and to clarify, that's right. But 84 years since an incumbent senator has lost.
Yeah.
But the last time the Republicans elected a United States senator is, what, 1972?
Yeah.
Cliff Case.
Yeah, Case. Yep.
I mean, come on.
I mean, I'll take issue with one thing that you said in a slight way, and that I do believe it was Chris Christie and his political aspirations to be president. He did have a clear message to the GOP establishment, is that there shall be no other spotlight but the one that shines on me.
Oh, I don't disagree with that.
That was, you know, there was no bench. I mean, in that, look,
but Eric, don't you think that you know a lot of these guys? They've got no backbone. I mean, I think Chris Christie would have respected the strength of somebody that stood up and said, well, all right, hold on a minute. I'll give you an example. Jay Weber was told, don't run, wait your turn, when he ran for the state Senate against, I think it was Bob Martin, the senator
right.
And he was told, sit down and shut up. And Jay basically gave him the Jersey salute, ran, and almost beat the guy. He was an assembly member in 2 years. I don't disagree with you that Christie was one of the strongest personalities I think the party has ever had, but I can't take all the blame off of these guys that had zero backbone.
Well, I mean, that's on them. But, I mean, it certainly was Chris's intention to make sure that nobody, including Kim Guadagno, his lieutenant governor, by the way, ever took even a little bit of the spotlight away from him.
Yeah.
So, you know, that was part of the failing. But, I mean, you didn't have an opportunity for strong leadership to emerge, because anytime that started to happen, Chris squashed it. And, you know, that was, you know, that strategically. And look, I'll also say that he's to blame for the redistricting mess. I mean, he had an opportunity to appoint somebody that was really going to re-examine and redraw boundaries. And the guy that Chris chose to lead that effort publicly stated when they first met at Rutgers, yeah, I don't really believe in competitive districts.
Yeah, they drew the lines so that it would stay the same. It was a status quo move that would solidify Democrat seats and Republican seats. And the problem was the Republicans accepted the minority position.
Right.
In that.
Correct.
The challenge I have is that if you go back to Christine Todd Whitman, the Democrats, you could argue, were in a very similar boat. And they took the task. And this is why I'm highlighting Pat Kong, Bernards Township, I realize if you don't live in Bernards Township, you're like, what are you talking about? Who cares? But it's important because the reason the Democrats are even in this position, I mean, this problem goes way, way, way back before Chris Christie. I would argue the destruction of the Republican Party started at Christine Todd Whitman.
Well, yeah, I mean, you can certainly draw back there on her tax policies.
Right, the tax policies were a nightmare. But the Democrats at that time said, you know what we're going to do? We're going to run mayor candidates. We're going to run council candidates. And the Republicans have simply never done it. And, you know, the minute that, like right now, you get a couple of thoughtful guys. Mark Soporowski did not win. He's a great member in Middletown of the Board of Ed. Ran for council, and Golden and his cronies went after him hard. I mean, they were mailing hate stuff about this guy. Think about it. A dad, a business owner, a Board of Education member running for a council seat, and they spent thousands, mailers, text messages. Mm-hmm. Hate. Yep. They went after him like he was a statewide candidate.
They did. Yep.
And they beat him. And I'm thinking to myself, imagine if the Monmouth County Republicans spent even a fraction of that money going after Democrats. And that's the problem. They've abandoned the local.
Well, and that's where it is. I mean, and that is, if you aren't going to start recruiting good candidates and building your bench, you know, and that's why, no, all due respect to the candidate who is going to face Cory Booker in November, but you should have had somebody ready to run, and you don't.
They don't. And well, now this is the opportunity. So, hey, Trump golfing partner billionaires, you know who you are. This is your opportunity. You guys absolutely put so much cash into Jack's campaign, and you got smoked by 15 points. You won the primary, but now is your opportunity. Look at this guy, Justin Murphy, grassroots candidate, is now the nominee for the Republican Party. Imagine if he had the 3 to 10 million that Jack had, and he put that against Cory Booker. We could actually have a competitive Senate race in New Jersey. 1-800-283-101.5 is the number. 6:48 is the time. Traffic and weather next.
Listen live anywhere in New Jersey. Stream New Jersey 101.5 at NewJersey1015.com or on the New Jersey 101.5 app. Jersey's news, talk, and weather. Always with you. Powered by Hackensack Meridian Health.
6:54 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadia. So talking about the results of the primary yesterday, did you even know there was an election yesterday? Well, 8 out of 10 of you didn't know, apparently, or didn't care. Let's go to Mark Rizzoli in Old Bridge. What's going on, Councilman? How are you?
Good morning, Bill. I just want to congratulate our friends, Tim Howes, Kirsten. Well, I actually walked with Kirsten up in Bernard. Yeah. Had a good time up there helping her door to door. It's great to see those grassroots people get the voters out.
Yeah.
And, you know, victory. I mean, and I just wanted to comment what you said about Justin getting financial support. It also helps down ballot. Everybody talks about, you know, the top, but the top also will help the bottom of the ballot. So everybody needs to get up and start funding these candidates to help them win.
Well, you know, Mark, we were talking about it, that, you know, as we navigate through the next few years, you look at Cittarelli's primary campaign. I mean, you know, how many millions of dollars they spend lying about me and attacking me, kitchen table, all these groups out there. Well, they were funded in large part by a bunch of New Jersey billionaires. And if,
yeah,
right.
And I lived it too. My chair, right, outspent, right. My chair outspent me 4-1.
Exactly.
I agree 100%.
So imagine if this clown show of this cabal of billionaires that hang out in Bedminster, they all kiss the ring. Imagine if they actually said, okay, we have a shot at making a Senate race competitive. And instead of writing that $500,000 to disparage a fellow Republican, write that check to go after Cory Booker, because you're correct, Mark. The down ballot implications. And remember, this year, 2026, is going to be a rough year for Republicans nationally, because Donald Trump is making a mess of things, if you ask me. He's been erratic and inconsistent and has abandoned any MAGA ideology and is just, you know, making it all personal. So you're going to see a really challenging midterm. But that doesn't have to be the case in New Jersey, because you look at some of these towns where we could actually take out local woke Democrats and replace them with moms and dads and cops and teachers who are running for office. But it doesn't happen if you don't have a big movement at the top of the ticket. It doesn't happen, because you will never have the turnout.
Listen, Bill, as far as I'm concerned, until I see that support, all this fake outrage about Delaney Hall, it's all fake outrage until we see the support for these candidates, right? You can go on and give these, put up these videos for clicks and to get some attention for yourself.
Well, that's all they're doing. I mean, exactly. think of how silly it is. You've got members of the assembly that are they're playing politics. How about you guys get out there and knock on doors, and what every one of them should be doing. And you know, Cittarelli wants to run for governor again in 29. What he ought to be doing right now is calling all those billionaires and saying, guys, write the same check. Write the same check and go after Cory Booker. Cory Booker is arguably one of the most woke and at the same time, wildly ineffective United States senators that New Jersey has ever had.
And he was an awful mayor, too. He laid off cops. Well, when he left, North Carolina was at an all-time high. The guy's a fraud. Listen, you tell Justin Murphy, I'll gladly welcome him here in Old Bridge. We'll get the as many voters out as possible for him. I mean, we got to start, doing everything we can to get rid of Cory Booker.
I talked to him. We were exchanging notes last night on text as the results are coming in. I will have him on our streaming show later, and then I haven't talked to him this morning. Hopefully, he'll come on the show this morning, either today or tomorrow. But I will let him know, Mark. We will certainly be putting together the walk-in list and getting him out there because turnout is going to be key. Thank you, man. Always appreciate you, Mark. Have a great rest of your day. You too. 6:58 to Eddie. You'll be first. Other side of the news with Eric Scott next.
New Jersey news when it matters. Breaking updates, traffic, weather, and alerts on the New Jersey 101.5 app. Supported by Hackensack Meridian Health.
7:09 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadia. So we're still waiting for official results till we can call what could be my first betting win of the year. Eric Scott,
Of the year?
Right? Oh, of what, the last? Wait, haven't I won? I think I've won one or two,
you've won,
right?
Like a sneezing bet or
something. Yeah, yeah, I think I won
like
the sneeze bet, yeah. So this would be my first political bet win.
Yeah.
And I am really excited. And I think the payoff should be the, what do we bet, an airplane bottle, right?
Yeah, airplane bottle.
Yeah, I'll take that. I'm happy about that. I think I'm going to... I'm going to have it during the news break on Friday. I think
We'll know by then. So
we'll know on Friday. Oh my God! And to be fair, we bet on turnout. I bet the over on 13%. Thank you, New Jersey, for actually turning out. But there is a significant issue to be discussed, and you heard me talking about this. And Eddie, hang in there. I'm going to get to you in 1 second. But Eric, I was talking with Mark Rizzoli and others on this. You know, you got these guys, these rich dudes that are literally worth $1 billion. They hang out, they play golf with Trump, they all glom on, which is always funny to me, how a guy worth $1 billion still goes and kisses the ring. Like, they're so desperate for attention and to be the in club, which is fascinating. Someone should write a book about the billionaires who need to have the gratification of being known in a certain circle. Because I got to tell you, if I had $1 billion, you wouldn't see me in any of these public things.
If I had $1 billion, you wouldn't see me.
Right, that's what I mean.
You're like, hey, remember because, that guy that used to come in here and read the news headlines?
You have to use the billion. You could right. I'd be like, whatever happened to Eric Scott? But your mentality would be different because you wouldn't be using your money to chase ego, or you'd be using that wealth to create more institutional wealth. The billionaires we don't know are the ones that are satisfied with their lives. But a lot of these Jersey guys, they're desperate to be. I don't know what it is for attention, maybe. It just goes to prove money does not guarantee you a satisfied life. But that said, we can name 5 or 6 of these guys who gave Jack tons and tons of money. This is who funded Kitchen Table and the, La Civita and the rest of these the scumbags. And they're all Republicans, or at least they say they are.
Right.
Imagine if they took the money that they spent lying about me and ran a serious effort, even if it was a super PAC and nothing to do with Murphy's campaign, against Cory Booker.
Right.
To mobilize moderate Democrats who don't know, and Murphy's not going to have the money on his own to let them know, how woke and radical Cory Booker is. And you might actually have a more competitive race. I don't know what the number would be. 3 million. 8 million.
Yeah,
they've got the money, and these super PACs, it's unlimited. You can write $1 million check if you want. And I'm not even going to predict, but I'm saying if you had that happen, money could be the game changer, even in blue New Jersey.
It certainly will make races more competitive, and I think that says more about the population.
Yeah.
And, individuals who are disengaged from the political process in really severe degrees than it really does about having a debate on issues.
Right.
Because you can't. I mean, it's and And you know, I mean, you've run a couple of campaigns. You've been around, you know, politics. People just aren't paying attention. And when in a state like New Jersey, it becomes harder and harder to cut through the affordability noise. Because, and now, even candidates who say they want to be the affordability candidate, if that's a Republican, and that's typically a Republican issue, are going to push back on that and tune it out because of what I've branded the Mikey Sherrill effect. Mikey Sherrill came in as the affordability governor, but right. has done nothing for affordability. So she's wrecked that argument for political candidates right. in the next couple of election cycles, at least, because they're like, oh, yeah, we've heard that before.
Well, it's the same thing about lowering taxes. It's why Republicans have lost ground over 30 years, because you claim you want to lower taxes, and then you come in and you raise taxes.
Yeah.
That's why we can't have nice things, guys. But I'm speaking more to the power. I mean, you think about it. They were able with about, I don't know what the PAC spent, $3 million, and there was another $3 or $4 million from other groups. Like, that money was able to take my 11-year public career and to 4x4 primary voters undo what they had heard over 11 right. years.
Yeah.
Because of sound bites, because it was so intense. I mean, text messages every day, mailers on your door, you know, grainy, horrible pictures. And I thought, now, okay, you guys, you got away with it. You beat the hell out of me in the primary. But then you went into a buzzsaw in the general because of just what you're saying, Eric. You know, Jack ran as the guy who would have snitched on his friends if somebody cheated on an exam. Mikey Sherrill ran on lowering your costs.
Right.
And she won. If they took that same strategy and applied it to Cory Booker in the general, you could take a relatively unknown guy, Justin Murphy, who just won a primary, and it's significant because he won it against the grain. He did not have the high-priced consultants. He did not have the backroom cabal. He did not have the big billionaires. You could take this guy who's thoughtful, smart, dedicated patriot, grassroots organizer, and put him into a point where he's at least got a fighting chance. You might give him a base of 40% to then go and see if you can close that gap and make this a single digit race. But short of the big money coming in, this is going to be one of those, tilting at windmills. And that's, it's a problem.
Well, I mean, and this should be historically, you know, you've always had races that are very similar to that. But, you know, historically, that's been a prep race. It's been the race where, let's run you. Yep. Yeah, we understand that you're probably going to lose, but we're running this to raise your profile, to right. give you experience to run a statewide race, to get somebody ready for the next thing.
Right.
And this goes directly back to what you and I have talked about for the last 10 years. There is no bench. Because, due respect to the Republican nominee, is he the next governor of New Jersey? Is he the next U.S. senator? Is he going to now right. be ready to run when Kim is up? I don't know him. But on paper, no.
Well, that's the thing. There's no bench. But if you're taking it on paper, if you were to give me $10 million and say, I'm going to give you a guy that is right on all the conservative issues, is a New Jersey native, U.S. Navy veteran, Gulf deployed guy, a former mayor, you know, a specialist attorney, I could turn that into something. But you right. need, you know, and he'll carry himself. You heard him on the debate stage. Yep. He doesn't trip over his words. Nope. He understands the issues, but he needs a fighting chance. And now this is the opportunity for all of you billionaires out there, 100 millionaires, all you big shots that like to put your thumb on the scale. Do it now. Prove it. Prove that you're really Republicans, that you're not the rhino scumbags that you are accused of being. Prove that you actually give a crap about the future of New Jersey. And instead of just shilling for your buddies in the back room and trying to grab an extra dollar where you've already got more money than you could spend in your lifetime, spend some money and let's help Justin Murphy become the next senator from New Jersey. All right, Eddie, I want to take your call right after traffic and weather next, 717.
Your news, your state, your station. Get breaking news, traffic, weather, and alerts on the New Jersey 101.5 app. Sponsored by Hackensack Meridian Health.
722 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadia. Let's jump right back in. We're talking about yesterday's primary results. Some shock across New Jersey as grassroots conservatives decide to make their voice heard. Let's go to Eddie and Elizabeth. Good morning. How you doing, Eddie?
Good morning, Bill. How are you?
Good, man. What do you think?
You know, so I'm going to tell you first and foremost, if I was a billionaire, I'll still have you at my kitchen table.
Thank you. Appreciate that, Eddie. What do you think?
So, we were unsuccessful. We were unsuccessful yesterday. I went up against Joe Crine's machine in yep. Union County.
Yep.
And unfortunately, was unsuccessful. However, I will continue to work for the community. And this is not the last you'll hear of Eddie Falcone.
Now, Eddie, you were unsuccessful. And just so it's clear to everybody, you ran as a Democrat. So what? And the reason I think this is significant is that you, like others, Kirsten Light, who was successful, had to run against their own party's machine. And that's the challenge. And, you know, there were some Republican wins against the machine, whereas on the Democrat side, the machine is right now too strong. And the only way it gets broken, Eddie, is if the 2.5 million unaffiliated independent voters in New Jersey say, we've had enough and we're going to get involved. And I tell people this, it's not just the Republican primary they should be getting involved in. They should be getting involved in the Democrat primary. There's no reason why the Democratic Party can't go back to Kennedy and Clinton. You know, there's no reason why the Republican Party can't go back to Ronald Reagan. And if you can get to that point where we get back to a meaningful dialogue within each party, you're going to have very different races. And you know, right now you're up against a machine of the Democrats that all they want to do is spend their way to this pretend fake prosperity. It's only prosperity for the haves at the very top. And the Republicans are the same way. I facetiously, at some level, have called out these billionaires. The reality is none of them are going to step up. They would rather wreck a guy like a candidate like me. They didn't notice Justin Murphy or they would have gone after him. But they left their own guys out to dry. And now this is the crunch time. They have a chance to do the right thing. I don't know. I don't think they're going to, but we'll see.
Bill, I continue to tell you, we need to bring everyone to the table because everyone has great ideas. What we need to stop doing is just being bobbleheads and saying yes, 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 yes
right.
to the people who we know are not having our true issues at hand.
Look, it's why I have said the Republican Party's become a cult of personality with Donald Trump, and it's dangerous. You should be able to criticize the president on policy without being attacked as a rhino. It's you know, the people today don't understand what that term means. You should be able to run as a Democrat and talk about the actual issues that were the foundation of the Democratic Party without being attacked and trashed because you are potentially interfering with some insider's income stream. That's what people have to understand.
You hit it.
Right?
Bill, you hit it on the head, my man.
I know.
You hit it on the head.
Yeah.
I got, you know, we failed to bring people to the voting polls yesterday. We had only less than 1,000 people show up with 7,800 eligible voters in my party yesterday at the polls. That was unheard of. A lot of it was intimidation, Bill. A lot of it's intimidation.
Don't mess with their money. All right. Eddie, I gotta jump. I'm running behind, but always good to talk to you. Keep the faith, keep the fight, my friend. You're doing the right thing. All right, guys, 726, Eric Scott with you. 7:38 on New Jersey, 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadia with you till 10 o'clock this morning. Talking Jersey, taking your calls, 1-800-283-101.5. So, Eric, a couple of decisions yesterday.
Yeah.
You know, you and I have been back and forth on the whole Joe Carillo's day, and we were getting ready for the countdown, and then all of a sudden we realized that he was in the Epstein files. And that was a little surprising.
It was.
Jarring. And some people say, well, everybody's in there. I'm like, well, I don't know. You're not. I'm not.
I looked. Did you?
Oh, yeah. I'm not in there. Not listed in the Epstein files. Producer Thomas, not in the Epstein files. Board Op Kathy, not in the Epstein files. To my knowledge, Dennis, Judy, Bob Williams, Jill Myra, not in the Epstein files. So, Joe Carillo's in the Epstein files.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's just fair to point that out. So that was but then we were going to be able, I think, to move past it. And then a funny thing happened. All of a sudden, some grassroots patriot put up signs on the JKB
yeah.
that said Hubbard's Bridge since 1848. So we did a little bit of research. Turns out old man Hubbard was a surgeon back to the Revolutionary War. And we've concluded that after much discussion yesterday, Jacobus is how
Jacobus.
Landed. Okay. That's how I've landed on the All name right. from everyone I've talked to. So Jacobus Hubbard, a Revolutionary War surgeon who was buried nearby, was the original namesake. And the Hubbard family is an institution in Monmouth County.
Okay.
So I am now leading the charge. And I have a post up on the website, nj1015.com/BillSpadia, and a petition up to call on the Monmouth County government, the commissioner board, to stand up by their call to celebrate the 250th anniversary of this great country by restoring the name of a great patriot, Hubbard, to the bridge. Because it turns out that Joe Carilla's only contribution to the bridge was getting a scrap off the Democrats' table in a budget that allowed them to fund some of the reconstruction. I thought maybe he had, I don't know, saved a drowning child or pulled a kitten out of a tree or something, delivered the mail to an elderly lady who couldn't get out of her house. I thought maybe Senator Carilla's had done that, but no. Turns out all he did was negotiate on a budget deal and threw a couple of bucks to the bridge. So I think it's only appropriate, given the 250th anniversary of this great country, that we resurrect, so to speak, politically speaking, the name of the Hubbard family and restore it to its greatness on the bridge.
I have a hard time finding an argument against that.
So I think we should discuss a cocktail that will go with the new celebration of the renaming of the bridge. And I'm going to look for a date that makes sense. I think August, the date that Jacobus Hubbard passed away, August 18th, I believe.
That would make sense. And, you know, I think, boy, the Carilla Rita was incredibly popular. And I still have people asking me for the recipe. So we could rename it. The symbolism, I think, remains, and maybe dropping that one tier into the Carilla Rita could now represent the sadness over the elimination of a Revolutionary War hero's name from the bridge.
I think that is well stated, well said, and is appropriate given the gravity of this conversation. 743, Fast Traffic, Instant Weather next.
From deep discussions to lighthearted conversations, you're listening to New Jersey 101.5.
Hello.
753 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadia. Hey, yesterday I told you I blocked out. Kathy, I was talking about this yesterday, that I blocked 2 hours to go fight with United because I got a note that said they denied my refund. So the recap is, when we were flying to London, we were delayed 12 hours, including 3 hours on the tarmac, where I fell asleep, because I sleep on flights. So I literally, we back out from the gate after like a 6 hour delay, 7 hour delay. I'm out. I wake up 3 hours later. I'm still in freaking Newark. I was so angry. So they pull us back to the gate. That was delayed an hour because there was another United flight with technical problems in front of us. Anyway, needless to say, I was set up for the customer service call.
Wait, did you sleep at the airport or did you go to a hotel?
No. We actually, it's an interesting story. A friend of mine convinced the bartender, who was just getting there, to open early. So we had a Bloody Mary to start our day off, which was kind of the right way to do it.
Yes, but did you stay awake all night?
Basically, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, because I slept on the plane.
Right.
And I thought it would be interesting to see if we could wrangle a drink out of them in the middle of the night, which we were able to do. He's a very charming guy. So the flight back, Same thing happened. I literally pull away from the jetway, and I fall asleep.
Oh, no.
2.5 hours later, I wake up. I'm still on the ground in London. You can't make this up. I'm like, we got to be halfway home. And Jody's like, we haven't taken off yet. What do you mean we haven't taken off yet? So here I am. Second time now they got me. So the plane eventually takes off. And what happened is all the lights. Now, if you've flown on these international flights, imagine every light in the aircraft is on, including all the reading lights. And the flight attendants are like, yeah, sorry, the lights are stuck on. It's a problem in the cockpit, too. I'm like, what? That sounds problematic to me. So they went to solve the problem by, putting black tape over the lights for the seat in front of us. Jody, thankfully, literally just burst out. It's like, don't do that. The light is hot. And they looked at her like she was crazy. Meanwhile, as she's saying it, smoke, and it started to curl like it melts. So anyway, all I had is a flashback that we were going to be diverted to Reykjavik, and I would have been really, really next level. Long story short, it took me 3 hours with United to get a credit on the first flight. Yesterday, they denied my credit on the second flight, so I dug in. Hour and 15 minutes later, I got some of my money back. All in, I got $250 per flight, per person. So I'm not thrilled, but I'm happy because it started at zero. So my question to you is, when's the last fight you had with customer service? And is there any company out there that's better than others? And what was your worst experience? 1-800-283-101.5. 757 is the time. Eric Scott with the news next.
From the shore to your street, we're talking about what matters to you. New Jersey 101.5.
.808 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadia. So, Eric, you were out of the room. I was telling Kathy, I blocked out 2 hours to call United yesterday.
Oh, yeah. How did that go?
I'll say this. It was a lot of work. I'm tired. The initial offer was rejection. You get nothing. The second offer was, sorry, we've already paid you.
What?
Thank you. And I said, now, hold on. Turns out when I called to complain about the first flight where they offered nothing, then $50, then $250, they then coded my entire journey as done, settled. So that's why I got the rejection letter on the refund. So I had to walk through with customer service, opening up an entirely new case. And while I'm on the phone, they're literally updating the app, so it showed the same thing. You have already been compensated. I'm like, no, I have not been. So then I don't know what they do, the little gremlins in there flip a switch somewhere, and then they offered me $50. And I'm like, okay, here's the part in the call where I asked to speak to your manager. So she said, how about I just solve it? I'm authorized to give you $250 each on both legs of the flight. I'm like, done. It was worth my time.
So the $1,000, you got $1,000.
Yeah.
Which, what would have been your optimal? Full refund?
Full refund. Not on the first flight.
Okay.
I understand delays. I could argue that but I should have had a full refund on the second flight because this EU-UK, I think it's 241 rule, says that if a flight is delayed more than 3 hours for certain conditions, I don't think weather is a part of it, but okay, mechanical, crew times out, they try to put tape over a light and they cause a fire in the cabin, those kinds of things that happen, you're entitled to a full refund. So I wonder if UK citizens calling to complain will get a full refund, and they might, because the flight was delayed in Europe. So it raises a question, but you know, for me, like it's also the time money graph, right? So I'll take it. All in, it took me 4 hours to get this done. Yes, Kathy.
I have a question. So first she offered you $50, and then when you asked for a supervisor, she revealed that she had the ability and the authorization to give you more. If you hadn't asked, you wouldn't have gotten.
That's exactly right. And this is my message. If you are a United customer, thank you for bringing that up. You have to tell them, I know you are authorized as a customer service agent to give me $250 per person per flight.
So do you think if you had dug in and said, all right, that's still not acceptable, I want to talk to your supervisor, if you would have gotten more?
Maybe. Maybe. If I had really decided, you know what it was? I felt like the time commitment versus, because I did fly home, and it was within the buffer with my parking at Newark.
Right.
So my payment was the same. Even on my flight out, I was still there in the Airbnb or the VRBO the same night. So did I miss hours? How do you put a dollar value on that?
Yeah,
I did. Was I annoyed and aggravated because I woke up after a 2.5 hour falling asleep in the flight in the same place? Yes. I felt like my aggravation, that was fair compensation.
Okay.
That was how I feel. I don't feel cheated. I feel like, okay, that's fine. And look, air prices are so high right now. Like, we're looking now to go back to London over Christmas. Jody's actually going over the 4th. It's out of control now. The same flight that we paid $700 for is now $2,000.
Oh, it's the same way, because we were looking at potentially doing Christmas in the Dominican this year. And
what's it going to cost you?
When I looked at the airfare, yeah, same thing. Flights that were $750 are now
$1,800. Yeah, it's crazy. So it may be out of reach. I may not go Christmas because of that. I tell people, I'm like, look, you want to get personal. You know, all the attacks that happened over the last year, the reality is I took 7 months off without an income.
Right.
And, you know, there isn't an extra few grand lying around for an extra trip. So they got to end this war. We got to get, you got to get the prices down. I mean, this is what Republicans, not to make it all political, but this is what Republicans are missing. I mean, Donald Trump can post on Truth Social about the price of avocados and bananas coming down 19%. But I could do without the avocados and bananas. What I can't do without is filling my truck.
Right. Right. Well, and this is, but it is all political and policy, because there is nothing in New Jersey that matters more to the average family than affordability.
Yes.
There is not, that should not be, there is nothing else that's a priority. It should be the thing that dominates the thought of every elected official every single moment of every single day, and it is not.
So when are the Republicans going to start holding President Trump accountable for the war, the ongoing crisis in the Strait of Hormuz? The fact that what you ought to be holding him accountable for is, why is it so expensive for gas and oil in America when we were essentially energy independent and we don't get our oil from the Strait of Hormuz? We have built up these international companies to a point where we've got our stock investments in our pensions. And guess what? They're all getting rich while you can't put gas in your tank. It's disgusting. But guys, Trump has a lot of the blame on this, whether you want to deal with this or not. But forgetting about the politics for a minute, have you had to complain to customer service? And have you ever had an experience like this? And are you about to call United or one of these airlines? Don't settle for less than $250 per person. You got to push, and you might have to be a little bit of a jerk to get it done. 1-800-283-101.5 is my number. 815, fast traffic, instant weather next.
New Jersey 101.5 severe weather alerts deliver fast, accurate, critical updates from Chief Meteorologist Dan Zarrow and the New Jersey 101.5 weather team. Powered by Earth Treasures Jewelers, Ultimate Collision, and Meyer and DePue.
8:21 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadia. Let's jump right back into it, talking about customer service. So, look, it was expensive. The trip is expensive, but I got kids that live in San Diego and London. So, Jody and I don't have a choice. It is what it is. It's an expense we have to absorb. And the fact that I had to fight with United to get money back, but I did get $1,000 back on the trip, which really did help. It'll help toward the next trip for sure. But you know, it's unfortunate. It took me 4 hours to get what should have been the airline offering it. They knew they screwed up. They just rely on you giving up. So don't give up. Fight them. Call them. Ask for a manager. Be a jerk if you have to. Push through. It's not just being super nice. I find that a little bit of tension coupled by, hey, I know it's not your fault, but, you know, I'm really pissed off at your company, goes a long way. Let's go to David in Farmingdale. What's going on, David?
Hi, how are you?
Good. I'm doing great. What do you got?
Good, good. So I had an issue not with a airline, but with a medical insurance provider.
Yeah.
I have a small business here in New Jersey, about 6-8 people. And of the 8 people in the office, we have about 5 people on health insurance.
Okay.
And one of the guys left the company, went to work elsewhere, got health insurance elsewhere. So we canceled his policy, and the health insurance company made us continue paying his premiums until they went through the process of taking him off.
Wow.
Meanwhile, every month would go by, and it was like $900 a month, his premium. Every month would go by, I'd call, I'd say, what's going on, we're still working on it. About 5 months into it, they finally say, well, the paperwork wasn't submitted properly. I said, well, that's all well and good, but I've given you guys about $5,000-$6,000. And if I didn't pay his premium, they shut everyone down because they said I wasn't paying the full premium.
These insurance companies are horrible. Horrible, horrible people. I am so disgusted by the insurance industry. It's not even, don't even get me started. Go ahead.
And so he then, you know, goes to a doctor and gave them the old card, which he was denied because of 6 months ago, because they took him off the policy.
Right.
Long story short, every time you called, oh, we'll get back to you. Never get back to me. And then all of a sudden I get a check in the mail as a rebate for half of the amount of the premiums that I paid in for him. And you either accept the $2,000 check after paying $6,000 in premiums, you know, because you can't continue to fight these people.
That's what they do, David. They grind you down. They grind you because for them it's all profiteering. I mean, look, I've made this argument that the reason Obamacare failed is that it essentially just subsidized a failed system to begin with. The system mm-hmm. of insurance that we have in this country is a total disaster. The rich get richer, and the rest of us, I mean, for me, I mean, I don't know, I got to look at it. I think my premiums are somewhere around $1,000 a month. And I've been to a doctor in 5 years. So now, as a New Jerseyan, I'm out $60,000 and I don't use the doctor. That's insane. So I'd be better off, honestly, with the government running it and doing what they do in the UK, where I can walk into a pharmacy in the UK as a resident on the National Health Services, their NHS, and I can talk to the pharmacist and get a prescription. So think about it. Right. You got people running to the emergency room for an ear infection. You got people having a little cough and they're like, oh my God, I might be having a heart attack. Because in America, not only is big pharma allowed, which should be illegal, to advertise, that should be totally illegal. No big pharma, no big hospital should be allowed to be on the public airwaves advertising, because you can make an argument that their money is influencing the reporting of news. And we saw this during COVID. Nobody went against big pharma. That's why I was targeted for termination so many years. Those 2 years I went through every day, not sure if I would have a job, because the big pharma, the big hospitals wanted to have me fired. I've got these big hospitals trying to get me fired even now because I buck the narrative. Well, because I rate, because of you, because people, you know, this is the largest audience in the state. Really, I mean it, David. I'm strong because the audience is like, well, thank God Spady is going to say the truth and not worry about if he's going to get fired. Because, I put it in God's hands and the hands of the audience. If I'm going to get fired, it's going to be because you guys decide that you don't want to listen to me anymore. And that's a fair deal. But my point is, David, you're up against a system that is so corrupt and so broken because the profiteers at the insurance companies, they don't give a crap if you go bankrupt. They don't give a crap if they shut your insurance down and your employees can't go to the doctor. As long as they can drive their Bentleys and take their fancy vacations and fly first class or even private, they don't care. So, yes, I have made this argument with Republicans to say you need to get your heads around this. As a party, we ought to be going after these insurance companies and break their back. And for people like me, there ought to be just a catastrophic insurance available, and I should be able to walk into a pharmacy, pay cash, and get a reasonable rate. The idea that it costs $30,000 if you break your arm, that's because the doctors, the hospital administrators, and the insurance companies are making a mint. Anyway, thanks for getting me all riled up, David. I'm glad they gave you some money back anyway. 828. You know what's next? The Hate-O-Meter, baby. Stay tuned.
He's got that ability to raise your hostility. So let's check out the online pleaders on today's Bill Hate-O-Meter.
Ah, what a satisfying song that is. It is 8:38. I am Bill Spadia, and it is time for the Hate-O-Meter. Producer Thomas, I think you've really outdone yourself.
This was a good week.
Yeah, I was wondering, you know, I saw Eric today, and Eric, you were smiling when you came in, and I realized, because it was Wednesday.
Because it's Wednesday.
It's Wednesday. It really sets your mood, doesn't it?
And yeah, I think it does.
Your emphasis on this one was very much appreciated. Now, we have a special edition in this week's Hate-O-Meter. We have live audio from an actual caller who gave us some hate on the air that I just thought was good to include. So, Producer Thomas has done that. But why don't we just start with... wow, this first one out of the gate. Tell me about this one.
Oh, yeah. This is Bart in Frenchtown, and this was on the app chat.
This is on the app chat, so this is the... So they know that I'm looking at it while I'm on the air. All right, Kathy?
Your face may look different, but the same stupid is coming out of it. Man, you are one self-absorbed little man.
Huh.
That's going to make my top three, I think.
I was going to say, which part did you like? I mean, I think the little hit at the end, a self-absorbed little man, you could almost feel his face tightening as he said it, don't you think? And, you know, because he talks about my face, and I think this is a reference to my shaving the beard.
Right, yeah.
Right? I mean, that's the, you know, I haven't had any surgery or... You know, I've done a makeover. I just shaved. So the shaving, you know, it's interesting, though. He didn't comment on different. I don't know does he like the beard? Does he miss this? Is part of his agitation?
Yeah, he didn't say if he liked it or not.
Right. He was neutral on the look, and he honed in on the stupid things coming out of my mouth.
I will say, once again, you got little bro'd.
That's another little bro?
Yeah, like called you little man.
Because he called me little man. Yeah. Little man. Yeah, okay. Yeah. All right, that was pretty good. I'm going to go, I could go 4.5 out of 5 on that one.
Yeah, I agree, that was pretty good.
Yep. Okay, all right, and that's number two.
This second one is the audio of the caller you got last week. I believe this was Thursday.
And what was his name?
And his name, it was Frank.
So this is Frank.
Yes.
Do we remember where he's from?
I do not remember where Frank is from. It's probably Hateville, somewhere like that.
Yeah, but
North Jersey,
Hateville. Yeah. Okay, all right.
The thing to keep in mind is this is only a portion
Oh, yeah.
Of the call.
This was a long... Now, Eric, more. Did you hear this live? This was a long call.
I came
call.
In on the tail end of it. So it, I, this was near the beginning, right? So I think I missed this one.
This was a two-minute hate rant that you cut down to how many seconds?
It's about 20, 25 seconds. 18.
All right, let's hear how you did. 18, sorry. Let's hear it. All right, Frank. Thank you for calling back. Yeah, so what was your issue?
How much more do I got to hear about your yoga? You go here, you go there, you're digging in, Asobuco. Jody told me this. You're supposed to be like Jim Gearhart, talking about how bad Jersey is and how we're going to turn it around. We got a half an hour. It sounds like the Kelly Clarkson show.
Oh, my goodness.
That was pretty good. You had not heard that before.
I had not heard that one
Yeah,
before.
You almost choked on your water there. But we're happy to provide the entertainment, Eric. You know, the Kelly Clarkson show reference, what I like about it, let's play it one more time. Let's just hear that one more time. All right, Frank. Thank you for calling back. Yeah, so what was your issue?
How much more do I got to hear about your yoga? You go here, you go there, you're digging in, Asobuco. Jody told me this. You're supposed to be like Jim Gearhart, talking about how bad Jersey is and how we're going to turn it around. We got a half an hour. It sounds like the Kelly Clarkson show.
I mean, for a stream of consciousness, he got in yoga.
Yeah.
He got in a Jody reference.
Yeah.
He got in the here, the there. He even threw in the Asobuco reference, knowing that I do love Asobuco.
I don't know how Frank did this, but that flowed perfectly.
It did. The timing
you can't
was good.
That.
No, it would have, you know, and you know, it's interesting, too, because clearly he must have hung up and called back.
Yes.
Because I welcomed him back. So that was off the top from a welcome back stream of consciousness. Got to family, food, yoga. I mean, he covered it all. That I don't know. That's competitive with the first one.
And no language that needed to be bleeped out.
You know, actually, Kathy, you had pointed that before. Just so we're clear, so everyone knows, in the full two-minute audio, which we will make available on the website, I will write this up so you can post that audio tomorrow. Just please remind me, Producer Thomas, okay. We'll do that tomorrow. Because I want you to, if you hear the entire thing, it really is a whole stream of consciousness that we don't have time for right now, but I'll put it on the website. Not one curse word had to be bleeped. Nope. So I give Frank, I'm going to give him, I think that's a 4 out of 5. What do you think?
I have to tell you, I like it.
Yeah, I like it too. I like it too. Nice. Well done, Frank. All right, let's go to the next one.
This third one is Kyle Trump on X.
Kyle Trump?
Yes. And I have some thoughts on
Kyle. Is it like Heil Trump? Is it like a Trump-hating guy? Do we know?
I believe he likes Trump, but I will tell you a little
about pro-Trump.
A little bit about Kyle Trump afterwards.
Afterward?
Yes.
All right, let's hear Kyle Trump.
When will you go away? You're a spiteful, bitter clown, like every other person Trump doesn't endorse. What the happened to you?
Eric, you said that as if you're Kyle Trump. Whose account is this?
I try to channel what their emotion and what they're feeling, right? You know, and as I've pointed out before, I do kind of do this for a living.
That is a solid point. So what is it, Kyle Trump? Like he's not a member of the Trump family, but he uses the Trump name.
No, he's not a part of the presidential family.
Okay. But so this was not first family hate.
No,
this is some guy using the name.
He's not a third cousin.
Got it. Okay. But so as far as we know,
if you go to X and you look up Kyle Trump 3, that's his username. Trump 3. His replies. He hates everyone.
Really?
Everyone.
So he's a universal hater.
You know, he's a Yankees fan, but he hates on the Yankees. He says, this judge at bat was effing ridiculous.
So he's possibly a listener then?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. That's the thing, Eric, right? We've talked about this. You get the listeners, they hate so much, they can't turn it off.
Exactly.
Like right now, Kyle Trump is in his car and he's twitching and he's thinking about the next thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty good. Well, I'm going to say because he's a serial hater, you're 2.5 out of 5 on that one.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, don't you think?
Yeah, I'm all right with that.
All right, let's move to the next one.
This fourth one is Don and Tom's River on the app chat.
All right, Don and Tom's River.
Glad your refund was refused, Bill.
Well, all right. Right. First of all, joke's on him because I got my money back. But he's clearly referencing the airline refund. So his hate carried over into my personal life.
Absolutely.
I think you liked that, Eric. I think you think that's a next level. That's not I hate what you said. That's I hate you so much that I'm glad the airline screwed you.
I'm glad something bad happened to you.
Yes, yeah, that's interesting. Well,
it's Schadenfreude.
Yes.
Taking pleasure in somebody else's
pain. Yeah. That's pretty good. We don't often get that.
Yeah, that was just plain old fashioned hate. Like he despises you.
And I almost feel bad for him now that I won and I got my money back because now, like it's undone. It turned out good.
You feel bad for the hater.
I feel bad for the hater because he was so happy. He had something to hold on to that, right. Like he felt like I just punched you in the face. You got denied your refund. He should have waited on that. The timing of this tweet was wrong.
But he's even more mad now because if he's listening.
Yeah. Who was it? Right.
It's Don and Tom's River. And I know he's listening because he commented on the app chat earlier today.
Well, we'll be watching the app chat for Don and Tom's River for sure. All right. This one, Eric, this could be in the top three, I think.
Yeah, this one's good. Number five in the last one is Dice in Bridgewater on the app chat.
Okay.
Don't tell people to stare at the sun, you freaking moron. You're going to get sued when somebody goes blind for staring at the sun, you dipwad.
Dipwad.
I wondered if that was going to have to be bleeped. I've not heard that phrase since I was in high school.
I was going to say grade school. Dipwad. It sounds like something you'd say on the kickball court. What a dipwad. What is it? What is a dipwad? Is that like a guy that dips and then what you spit is the wad? Oh, is that what maybe. It is?
That's very like 80s, early 80s movie bully. You know what I mean?
Hey, like calls him, hey, dipwad.
I
would love to have a... the reference would be good. First of all, I don't recall telling people to stare at the sun.
It just says...
Is it a definition? What's the definition?
It's slang for an obnoxious jerk.
Well.
So...
And it's short for dip feces.
Really?
Yeah, with an S.
Wow, so this is a poop reference.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, well... Here's what I find interesting, though.
Wait, there's more. And
there's
from
more.
From the Urban Dictionary.
Yeah.
It says, wait, hold on. Where'd that go?
But there was that, and then okay. The other one I used to hear was, you dillweed.
Dillweed.
Yeah.
Dillweed. Somebody, yep. He chose dipwad.
Yeah. This is from the Urban Dictionary. Dipwad.
Yep.
Somebody who is stupid or annoying most likely came from the usage of dip, a tobacco product.
See?
Its usage involves dipping one's lip into a pile of it. The meaning of dipwad is literally a wad of dip created by one's saliva, which is quite an unpleasant thing.
How about that? Unless you like dip.
You're a saliva-coated unpleasant thing.
A saliva-coated unpleasant thing who is annoying as hell. All right. Well, anyway, I do recommend Morning Sun. It helps build the melatonin up so that you can get a good night's sleep at night. But, perhaps don't stare at the sun. Maybe that's part of what he was saying. Well, anyway, thank you all for the great participation this morning.
Ability to raise your hostility. So let's check out the online pleaders on today's Bill Hadometer. He's got that ability to raise your hostility. So let's check out the online pleaders on today's Bill Hadometer.
Bill Spadia. Keep it going with Judy and EJ. Ride home with Dubinsky and more. We're New Jersey 101.5.
It's 8:54 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadia. All right, listen, guys, bear with me. The Hadometer, our cup runneth over. We went a little long. I do appreciate that Dice and Don, you're both weighing in on the app chat. Thank you for that. And I do appreciate that you are not trying to get on the Hadometer. You're just expressing your views real time. All right, all are welcome. 8:54. Eric Scott with the news in 5 minutes.
For the best of New Jersey, live hosts and timely traffic and weather updates every 15 minutes. Tune into New Jersey 101.5.
9:09 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadia with you. Until 10 o'clock this morning, talking Jersey, taking your calls, 1-800-283-101.5. Just a reminder, we are live streaming on YouTube.com. Just search for NJ101.5.
Most of us,
right? We're in the watch out. Jen Ursillo, we talked about this yesterday. you are still not in the frame.
Where am I supposed to sit?
I got the YouTube feed on, and it's a crying shame, because what I don't see is Jenner Cillo in the frame. We all want the same. Give us Jenner Cillo.
The right, band works.
The band work
that.
Is well. They're right, not. They, so now, they're like. Where are you? So you got a. You got a shimmy.
All right.
It's a little left, shimmy or left. A shift to your left.
To the left. Just a step to the left.
Right. You see that?
Am I in it now?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, I got. Yep. Hold on. We trust but verify.
Yep. I see it.
All right. I don't, because again, the loading of the computer is one of those. One of those things.
I want to know where Eric sits that I'm not doing this
right now.
Because
obviously, right.
Well, how do you hit your? Because I got to hit my buttons.
I think he's just got a big head. I think that's what it is.
Well,
and long arms.
How tall are you? He's taller. So
is he taller than you?
Yeah, of course.
He has a longer wingspan.
Oh, you're totally in the frame now.
Now, because I move, but I can't like reach over to
go back to where you were.
To where I was.
Go back to where you were.
This is where I was.
Wait,
and I'm out.
Go back. Well, let me see. Yep.
I got the YouTube feed on.
I gotta move in.
This is like an alarm that goes off. When you're out of the frame, this goes off.
Don't see is Jenner Cillo in the frame. We all want the same. Give us Jenner Cillo in the frame. Outside the shot is just too late. We want Jenner Cillo in the frame.
I'll tell you what impresses me. The
tell
fact
me.
That they said my name right. Because some people yes. don't say my last name right. So that was...
What do they call you? Ursula?
Yeah, I'll get like... Yeah, I'm like...
Isn't that a bad Disney character?
As I said, this isn't the Little Mermaid.
Right, Ursula. Is that like the Dark Princess or something?
Yeah. No, that's the witch.
The witch. Yes. I don't know from Disney. I don't get this whole Disney obsession thing. It's so weird to me.
Don't morph into that.
Oh, but, my God.
Yeah,
I think I'm anti-Disney.
Yeah, I think you might be.
I think I'm anti-Disney.
All right.
Keep your Disney. Ursula, Orcello, whatever the hell.
Ursula.
Oh, my God.
But that's
God.
Not who I am.
With the whole, the mom's dying, all the stuff. What Disney, it's so dark. Why do people like Disney? I don't understand it.
Dark is definitely Bambi when they kill
right?
the mother. Yeah.
They kill the moms.
Poor thing.
The patriarchy. This is the problem
yeah.
with Disney.
Yeah, sure. Mm. Finding Nemo, the anyway. mother and all the babies die except
Nobody
for the
Nobody loves
one.
Disney more than Dan Zarrow, except maybe
Kristen.
Our former
producer Kristen.
Kristen loved Disney.
She wow. still does. I mean, I like Disney, but I don't go every vacation to Disney.
I just don't understand the Disney thing. I understood it in the 70s when we were all in the station wagons with the wood
sure.
paneling. And if you live in New Jersey, you got to yes. drive to Florida once. I get
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
But the whole franchise it's become, it's just so weird to me. Anyway. All right, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to take a break for traffic and weather.
Yay.
Because I got Buddha coming up next.
All
big
right.
comedy night on Friday night. I'm going to tell you how to get tickets. Coming up next, 9:12.
New Jersey 101.5. Great New Jerseyans talking Jersey stuff. Jump in anytime. Call, app chat, be a part of it. New Jersey 101.5.
9:22 on New Jersey 101.5. I am Bill Spadia. Hey, on Friday night, the 5th, we've got a big event at our friend at Jesse at Dina's Bistro. It's comedy night at Dina's Bistro. We do it first Friday of every month. It'll be me, Steve Trevelise, and Buddha, the comedian, who's in Egg Harbor City right now. What's going on, Buddha?
Oh, sorry about that. I was getting gas. I asked the attendant for $10 regular, and he sprayed it on my wrist like cologne. Thank you, sir.
Nice, right?
Oh, my God.
Isn't it bad? Come on, Buddha. It's horrible.
Dude, I had to trade. I wanted to fill my tank up, and I had to trade a rim to pay for it. But now I only have three wheels to get home. I don't know what to do now.
Hey, you excited about Friday night?
I am excited. Are you? I can't wait to see you again. We have good talks when we hang out.
We
Thank
do.
God we don't talk for more than an hour, or we'd take over the world.
right? It's true. Look, we solved a lot of problems last. Was it last month or 2 months ago? I can't honestly.
I don't even know, dude.
I can't
I
even keep
know.
It straight. So tell me what are you expecting on Friday night? You got some good material last time.
Oh, I have fun with them, man. I always like to watch the other comedians to see what the people want to hear, you know? So
yeah,
then I just go at them with that, you know?
Well, the last two shows we've sold out, so I'm pretty excited to do that this time.
Well, the food is ridiculous. They asked me what I wanted, and I felt embarrassed because, you know, I don't like to take advantage as a comedian, you know? Like, I don't know. And I came back, and there were five dishes at my table. I'm like, who's going to eat all this?
And that was not a comment on your weight at all. At all.
Not at all. Not at
the,
all.
The veal they do there, fantastic. Oh. It's, you know, oh. Jesse, his mom, Dina's back there making sure it's all running smoothly. And I think a lot of it is they're her recipes.
Yeah, they know what they're doing. They're doing the food and the show. It's good. They know what they're doing. It's a good time. You got to come down. And you meet us afterwards, too. I'll come. We hang out and, you know, we enjoy it. It's a good time, man. That they last show was crazy.
They got Buddha, they got to work on the green room, though. I feel like, we almost fell down those stairs. I think they got to work.
Oh, I know.
Right?
We're in the back by the soda machine. I was helping the lady with the ice. Hey, you put me to work if I'm in the way.
We were both in the way. Unbelievable. All right, so it's Dina's Bistro.
I take up twice as much room as you, so how do you think I felt?
I figured you were working for tips back there, that's all. You're like, you know what?
I know, right?
You know, it's comedy pays. You know, it's you got.
And then we had to put Steve Trevelise back there, who's 7'5". So like, you know, we were all stuck in that back room together. But it was a good time. Jen Ursula was stuck back there too.
Yes, she was. That's right.
What's funny when you guys are talking on stage, I had to look at my phone like two or three times because I thought the NJ 101.5 app was open. I'm like, oh my god, because you know your voices are so easy to hear. Like, you must be recognized everywhere you go.
It's funny, the first time I got recognized, I was a couple years into the job, and I was on a flight, and we landed, and there was a kid in front of me. He got up on his knees on the cushion and kind of leaned over the back of the chair, and he's like, hey, my parents listen to you every day. Like, it was just a funny, weird, awkward moment. But, yeah, it's funny. Look, it's a great show.
From what I hear, I guarantee you he had to wake you up first because apparently you just fall asleep when you think that you're taking off.
Can you imagine I fell asleep in Newark? 3 hours later, I wake up on the plane, on the tarmac in Newark. I was so pissed off.
That has to be the most defeated feeling ever. Like, you're all rested, you wake up, and you look around thinking you've landed, and you haven't even taken off.
Didn't even move. And then it happened on the return. The same thing happened in London. You can't make it up. All right, man. Yeah. Look, it's Friday
love
night.
You,
love you, brother. I appreciate you coming out. It'll be Dina's Bistro, me, Buddha the comedian, and Steve.
Tom's River,
Dina's Bistro. Here's the number. If you want to get tickets, there's dinner and a show, 732-270-2088. That's 732-270-2088. I'll see you Friday night. Thanks, Buddha.
Later, bro.
Buddha the comedian, real Jersey guy. Hey, other side, I'm going to check in with, we're talking about a very close race in Hopatcong, my friend Rachel Rodriguez on the ballot. It is literally a race now that will have to come down to provisional ballots because they are single-digit votes apart. We'll touch on that on the other side. Plus, I'll give you the update on the mission to save America by renaming the Hubbard Bridge back to its original patriotic roots. 927 Eric Scott, or no, Jen Ursillo with your news next. 937 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadia. I just want to give a quick update before I get to Rachel and talk about this race that is razor thin, counting provisional ballots a little later this morning. I mean, literally candidates separated by a couple of votes. Jen, yesterday you shed some light on a very important issue. The bridge that is currently known as the JKB, the Joe Carlos Bridge, which crosses the mighty Navesink River.
Yes.
One of the crucial Navesink crossings from Middletown into Red Bank. Named after the former, we'll call him the Romney Republican state senator who had an issue voting for some higher taxes. That's another issue. But that said, the bridge is named after him.
Yes.
We found out it was named after him because he wrangled a couple of bucks from the budget, as these senators will do, in exchange for their votes for the majority Democrat budget. They get a couple of dollars for their district. Right. So he got some money, they refurbished the bridge, boom, rest is history. Turns out the bridge was named for Jacobus. It's Jacobus.
Oh, I like Jacobus.
Well, I had somebody in the app chat who has the name. Oh. It's like it's Jacobus.
All right.
So Jacobus Hubbard was a Revolutionary War hero, a surgeon serving with the Monmouth Militia.
Yes.
After the war, he spent his time helping widows of Revolutionary War soldiers who had died get pensions from the new government.
Yes.
This man is a Monmouth County hero. Now, I'm going to say this. For the Monmouth County Commissioner Board, you guys are talking about all the big celebrations of America 250. You want to honor America. You've got to rename the JKB back to its original patriotic, meaningful, deeper, love America meaning, the Hubbard Bridge. Because I will tell you something. The idea that you would take a bridge named after a patriot, an American hero, and replace it with a politician who's negotiating our tax money, raising our taxes, that is a slap in the face to all of us as Americans here on the 250th birthday of this great country.
Isn't this an indictment of our entire American society? Well, you can do what you want to us, but we're not going to sit here and listen to you badmouth the United States of America. Gentlemen!
You're not walking out on this one, mister. You're finished. No more Delta. You bought it this time, Buster. I'm calling your national office. I'm going to revoke your charter. And if you wise guys try one more thing, one more, I'm going to kick you out of this college. No more fun of any kind.
This is why we can't have nice things. So Monmouth County commissioners, do the right thing.
Yes.
The JKB, we are now going to revert back. It is now the HFB.
The HFB.
The Hubbard Family Bridge.
I like that.
Right? The HFB.
I like that. Yeah.
So I'm going to ask Bob Williams on the next traffic report tomorrow to update our traffic codes. Bob, if you're listening, let's update the traffic codes. It is no longer, from this radio station's perspective, the JKB. It is now officially the HFB. There is a petition at nj1015.com/BillSpadia that you can sign to help us get this name change officially done. How could we possibly disparage an American hero for a politician who's spending your money and raising your taxes? What a slap in the face. We're not going to let it happen. Go to the website, follow me on X and Instagram, sign the petition, help us reclaim America over the Navisink. All right, it's 9:42. Let's check in with my friend Rachel Rodriguez, who's on council in Hopatcong in a super tight race. Four people vying for two seats. Rachel, how are you doing this morning?
Hi, Bill. Good morning. I'm good.
So we were, it was a late night, and I think at the time we stopped communicating, you were two votes down. How are you doing? What does it look like now?
Yeah, as of this morning, right now, the counts are still the same. So the last update we got this morning was they were going to take a look to see how many more mail-in ballots needed to be counted for Hopatcong and give us an update later this afternoon.
So you and your running mate, Jennifer Johnson, you were both challenged by the incumbents because they didn't like your pushing back and fighting against the tax hikes and the cancellation of the Memorial Day parade. As a result, you guys get targeted. You draw an establishment back room, two opponents to try to take you out. And you guys are all within a few votes. Now, Jennifer, slightly ahead. Is she number two out of four right now?
She is, my understanding, I believe, she was number one out of four.
Oh, good for her.
Yeah. Yep.
So we need to get you a couple. You need three more votes to get to number two.
Fingers crossed. But I think this is, you know, people are kind of like, you know, the fighting needs to stop. The fighting needs to stop, which, listen, we all agree with. But I think when people who are in power for so long don't want to take common sense approaches, you know, and they focus more on the power in itself, this is what happens. You have these super contested elections and the focus is the power and not the results that the community deserves. So
what do you think happens? Do you think that if you pull this off, I mean, like I said, literally a few votes away, Do you think that on council, you and Jennifer will be received well? Will the mayor be able to work with you? You think you guys can bridge the gap and bring the party back together? And because I worry, and I know you do too, Sussex County is in trouble. You've got some elected officials that are just not very good people. And unfortunately, because of their attitude over the years, you're seeing a decline in Republicans. You're seeing a rise in some of these Democrats. And I don't know that we could be seeing a world where Sussex County goes blue in the next three or four cycles. So do you think you guys will be able to work together? Will they accept you back?
You know, I can say the council members, listen, we don't have to like each other, but we all have the best interest of the town at heart. Yeah. So, yes, I can say we have no problem. What I said during one of our Meet the Candidates events was that the issue that we're facing now in Hopatcon is the council we're trying to work. We have a dictator for a mayor right now. I think the power has just gotten so out of control in her head. It's, you know, we have to do what she says. And in our form of government, we are a council strong, mayor weak borough. And I think she's forgotten that.
Well, you guys keep the faith, keep the fight, and Rachel, please keep me posted. Tell Jennifer I say hello, and I'm fighting with right alongside you guys. We're praying for you. We're going to continue to advocate. But you know, this is why I tell people every vote counts. You are literally two Absolutely. Votes away. Every vote yep. counts, right? How many people, Rachel, are like, you got to be asking yourself, you're going to start calling friends later. Like, did you vote? Then no one's going to tell you they didn't vote at two votes
down. People are coming off the Christmas card list, Bill. If I find out they didn't vote, that's it.
You're absolutely right. All right, Rachel, let me know. Send me a note as soon as you find out. Sure. We're going to find out by about 11 o'clock today. They should have some movement.
I don't even want to put a time on it, but the second I know, you will definitely know.
That's awesome, and we'll have you back on. All right, thank you, Rachel. Appreciate you. You take care. That is Rachel Rodriguez, her and Jennifer Johnson, both outstanding members of council and two populist, conservative, thoughtful, common sense minded leaders. Win or lose today, they are not going away. But right now, Jennifer, thankfully, is number one out of four. Rachel is three, two votes down. Two votes, that's it. So hopefully these provisional ballots will break her way with a vote count of three, and we'll get these two outstanding young women back in a position where they can help the town of Hopatcon. 946, Fast Traffic, Instant Weather next.
Windows down, opinions up. New Jersey's talking all day. Call 1-800-283-1015 to join the conversation. New Jersey 101.5.
953 on New Jersey 101.5. I am Bill Spady. I got to get out of here. I want to congratulate again Justin Murphy for a big win in yesterday's primary. Justin Murphy will now take on United States Senator, also known as Senator Spartacus Cory Booker, in the Senate race coming up in November. Also, congratulations to Kirsten Light for winning her Bernards Township race. And we will keep you posted on Jennifer Johnson and Rachel Rodriguez in Hopatcon. Guys, don't forget, go to the website, nj1015.com/BillSpadia. Producer Thomas will send an alert out on our renaming of the Joe Carillo's Bridge to the Hubbard Family Bridge to honor great Americans. It is time for the county government in Monmouth County to get with the team in Red Bank and Middletown, get that bridge named, restore the integrity of this great patriotic family, the Hubbard family. We should have never given away the naming rights to just some politician who negotiated a deal with our money. It's time to stand up for America. Stand up for the Hubbard family. I'll see you tomorrow at 6.